Well, praise God. Hallelujah. I said, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. God is so, so good. Amen. Oh, glory. Praise God. As I was up here, you know, I love He always meets me. He always meets me. Praise God. He's always here. You know, we come and we do our part. And this, you say, well, Pastor Jeff, you say that all the time. Well, it's the truth all the time. Amen. He meets me. Amen. And He's ready, willing, and able to meet you. He meets us all as we come to Him. As we, you know, I'm going to tell you this night, and I'm not just saying this because I preached it, but there was an incredible, we had an incredible message preached in Corey last night. There was great utterance with it, and I highly suggest that if you will, get online and go to the, you know, our websites, the Family Church Corey and Family Church Mayville, they're connected. And you can jump back and forth between the website on the website. So if you find either one, you're doing pretty good. If you need to find the other one, amen. But we have both. We have services from both churches. We have them uploaded online, and you can listen to them. And I highly suggest that you listen to it. I'm telling you, if you need a little bit of stirring, last night's message would stir you, amen. But it, you know, we talked about what God has for us, and you know, I know God has been moving me in the direction of His direction lately, amen. And of course, He always is leading us into His direction, but He's been leading me a lot into things that really matter to Him, amen. And as I partake of that, I'm seeing amazing things that I haven't seen before. I'm seeing things in the Word. I'm seeing things while I preach. I'm just seeing God's love poured out upon us, amen. And I get so stirred and so excited because God's Word is real. God's power is real. But see, brothers and sisters, we've only tapped into we're scratching the surface of what we've actually experienced. I mean, we see things about some of the revivals of the past, and there are some major things that have happened. I mean, there was one great revival that happened happened in LA in the early part of last century, and it was called the Azusa Street Revival. And it was so much power of God manifested in that place. People in the train station miles away were falling out in the spirit. People who weren't even saved. Yeah. They were just showing up and poof, they're falling out in the spirit. See, the power of God is amazing. Well, don't you know, God didn't give them the last greatest revival. He saved it for us. And more amazing things that have ever happened before on the earth, God wants to do right now. He wants it right now, but there's going to be a price that's going to be paid to get into it, amen? Because the things of God, whether you think so or not, aren't just free. Now, my wife was talking about some freedom. We freely obtain, amen? We can freely walk into those things, but that doesn't mean that we can just do whatever we want to do and get there. You understand there is a process in how you get into those things. You know what I mean? So you don't have to pay a price for it in the sense that you have to pay money, but you do have to believe God for it. You do have to live right. You do have to be seeking Him for His will, because that's the only way that the plan and purposes of God happen. The only way they ever happen is when you seek Him. You can sit there and say, well, I had pastor lay hands on me, and I got wonderful prophecy, praise the Lord, and He said all these wonderful things. But you know something, that even prophecy in the Bible only happens when people connected with the prophecy. In other words, if you get prophesied over, if God's saying something through one of His ministers, if He's teaching you something, if He's telling you something, and giving you direction or helping you with direction or confirming direction you've already had in your heart, do you understand that it only can only happen if you actually get in line with it? I said it only happen if you get in line with it. You know, people say, well, that's great. God can prophesy, you know, you can prophesy riches over somebody. But if they don't get in line with the Word of God and the will of God, they'll never see it. Why? Because you have to walk it out. You have to walk the plan and purposes of God out. Amen? Well, God is good. He's so good. I'm so excited for what He's doing and what He wants to do. And in that, I'm going to make a quick little announcement. We shared it with the Corey Church last night. Praise the Lord. And we're going to share it with you this morning. But the Lord has moved us in the direction of a building. Praise the Lord. A more permanent space. And when I mean more permanent, I mean very permanent. Hallelujah. And God has supplied. And He's bringing all the things together. But you know, it still takes faith to walk that out. Yeah, you ain't going to get the children. I say this so often, but it bears repeating, and we need to keep repeating it to ourselves even. But the children of Israel did not walk into the promised land until they decided it's time to walk into the promised land. God said it's yours. He said you can have it. He said it's all yours. There's going to be opposition, but it's yours. There's going to be those that are going to try to rob it, but it's yours. There's going to be thoughts that come against you, but it's yours. Hallelujah. But see, the children of Israel did not go into the promised land until they walked it out, until they went in, until they said, yes, God, until they got hooked up with the plan of God and said, I'm after what you're after. I want what you want. Praise God. We need to want what God wants. Amen. And praise God, last night's message was stirring us in that direction. And actually, it goes really well with today's message. Lord, today I'm preaching about, the message is called Compelled by Love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're going to be talking about God's love today. God's love is the focus of the entire Bible. From Genesis all the way through Revelation, the main focus of all of Scripture together is God's love. God's love is everything. Jesus said you can sum up all the commandments by one commandment. That's love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God and love others as yourself. Praise the Lord. So when we love, when we have the love of God working in us, we can fulfill all the commandments. You will never do anything wrong by loving if you love truly the way God loves. Now, we're not talking about loving the way the world loves. The world love is fickle. The world's love is, you know, it's up and down. It's all over the place. God's love is constant. God's love is constant, but God's love is also a choice. It takes a part on our part to walk into God's love. It's not just automatic. See, this is what a lot of people don't understand. It'd be a lot easier for people to get through life a lot easier if they would realize that love is a choice. True love is a choice. God is love. There is no one, God is the embodiment of love. Without God, we don't have love. Separate from God, we don't have love. If you don't know God, you don't know love. You may think you know love, but you don't know love. You don't know true love because you can't know it without knowing God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why is that? Because God is love. You can't understand the whole thing unless you understand the whole thing. You can't separate the two. Well, I'm glad you're excited about that, but it's the truth. You can't understand love without understanding God because God is love. You can't separate it. It's like Jesus is the Word. You can't understand Jesus without understanding the Word. Why? Because Jesus is the Word. If God is love, you can't understand love without understanding God. Amen? And you will never understand God without being connected to God, without loving God, without living with God on the inside of you, without experiencing God. Praise the Lord. But we understand that love is a very, very, very important thing. All things in the Bible point back to love. Jesus was about love. For God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But what is the purpose of that? His love. He so loved. In fact, he loved the world so much. He loved you and I so much that even his son wasn't enough to keep. He sacrificed his son. I don't fully understand that. Because I'm going to tell you, I told you before, I'll tell you again, I wouldn't risk one hair on one of my kids' heads for any of you. I love you all, but not that much. But God, he loved you greatly. And aren't you glad, amen? Aren't you glad that God loves you more? Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't make my kid look bad for a minute for somebody. Well, why? Because I love them more. But God loved us more. He loved us so greatly that he was willing to give us everything up front so we would never question. Amen? You know, that's something that I love to preach about. I know you've heard it from me before, and you're going to hear it. I'm going to tell you, if you come back to this church, you're going to hear it again, you're going to hear it again, and you're going to hear it again. Why? Because it's the truth, and because God's made that truth so plain to me. And he wants us to get that truth out. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5:14. Praise God. Hallelujah. The Word is so good. We know this. We start every day by saying that the Word is good. But why do we say that? Because we're just reminding you that the Word is good. If you know that the Word is good, if you've heard it so many times that you can't get it, you know, see, I can say it so many times that when somebody says something about the Word, what you're going to hear in your head is my voice saying the Word is good. Yeah. Amen? And that's all, that's what you need to hear. That's what you need to know, praise the Lord. That's not bad. Amen. Praise the Lord. Unless you really hate my voice, glory to God. And then it would be hard, you know, to hear that all the time, praise God. 2 Corinthians 5:14. I hate my voice. You ever hate your voice? You ever listen to your own voice on a recording? I mean, it's like, that's not me. That's not what I sound like. Everybody else in the world's hearing it wrong, including me when I listen to it on a recording. I don't understand why. We always sound so much better in our head, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's why I always think about singing, man. I drive down the street. I sound like Elvis when I'm singing. I'm telling you, I belt it out. I sound so good when I'm singing. I remember when I was a kid, and I'm like, man, you did that real good. You, me, hallelujah. Yeah, I was talking to myself. I said, self, you just sang that real good, hallelujah. I sang it really good, praise the Lord. And so I recorded it just so I could play back how good I sounded, amen. You know, back then we didn't have all these fancy devices. We had to use a tape recorder. You remember the tape recorder? And you had the record button, and I recorded, and I sang, I belted out, gave it my all, you know, and I played it back. And I was like, that was not good. I'll tell you what, some of these contestants on some of these singing shows, they do themselves good to record it and play it back. Because if you played it back and you still think it sounds good, then you got serious problems, amen? Praise the Lord. At least then you know what doctor to go to. It ain't the eye doctor. Hallelujah. It ain't the foot doctor. Glory. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Hallelujah. For the love of Christ compels us. Folks, we have to ask ourselves, what is our driving force? What do we do? Why do we do what we do? Why do we continue going to church? Why do we continue believing this stuff? Why do we read our word? Why do we pray to God? Why do we do any of this? If it's just to help ourselves, then we got a problem. But because we don't understand, if it's just to help ourselves, we don't understand what Christ really did. We don't understand the purpose of the cross. Jesus died for us. He gave everything. God sacrificed everything for us who did not deserve it, so that we wouldn't live for ourselves, but we would live for him. You know, this world is so me-focused, and I get so tired of hearing it. It's seeped into the church, and you hear Christians talking about me, 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 me. I don't care about you. You shouldn't care about me, 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 me. You got to care about him. See, that's the problem in the world. When you care about only you, then you do what you want to do, and then everybody else suffers as a result. And I get tired of seeing that stuff. I get tired of hearing that stuff because it's so prevalent in the world. But guess what? It's not just prevalent in the world. It's prevalent in the church, in God's church, in the church that Jesus died for, the church that he was nailed to the cross for, to create. It's prevalent there. Me, 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 me. It's a problem. It's not the love of God. The love of God, the love of Christ should compel us into something else. It should compel us into the knowledge that if he died for us, that we also should die to ourselves for him. Yes. Praise the Lord. I know it's not a very popular thing when we talk about that, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It's not bad to die to yourselves. It doesn't mean that you don't take care of yourself. I have never been able to take care of myself better than I have since I've served God. Yeah. My everything about me has been better since I've served God. It's not that you give up, you just give up everything in the sense that you don't ever, you know, that you just are dirt and you don't mean anything anymore. No, God will take care of you better than you ever could, but you have to die to yourself before you can do that. You have to die to the things of the world. You cannot be living for the world and living for God in the same time. You can't do it. It's a joke. It's a lie from the pit of hell. If you're doing that, then you got to understand that God is speaking to you. It's not you, the love of Christ should compel us to something. And that something is not just so you can find your pocket. It's not just so you can drive a nice car or have a nice house or that you can get out of the mess that you created throughout your life. The love of Christ compels us to do something. It compels us into the plan of God. It compels us to do things for God, for God's people. Amen. Praise the Lord. The love of Christ and what compels you. We need to ask ourselves this every time we're doing so. Why am I doing this? What compels me to do this? Is it for me? Am I doing this for me? Well, praise the Lord. Selfish people say, yeah, I do it for me. That's the epitome of selfish people. I see all kinds of people all over the place. You see people on the news, on TV. I don't really have TV, but on YouTube or whatever, you see people all the time and they're like, you know, I'm doing me or I'm doing this for me. Well, you're doing it selfishly. If it's all about you, it's selfish. Now, if that's the way you want to live, fine, but you're going to live separate from God. You understand that God isn't in self. He isn't in yourself. He's in you, but he's not in self. He is in selfish thinking. He is not in me thinking. And if that's where you want to think, then have that. But see, there will be a day when you stand before Jesus and he's going to be asking you what you did. And there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be wishing at that moment as they're standing before the Lord of eternity. They're going to be wishing that they didn't do, just that they weren't compelled for themselves. All those selfish people are going to have to answer for that. And when I mean answer for that, that means that there's a lot of people that aren't going to heaven. There's a lot of people that are going to see hell because they don't understand this right here. People think, well, oh, Hitler, he did such bad things. Well, I'll tell you what, there's people in churches that are doing just as bad things as Hitler did. Why? Because they're living for themselves. I see this Christianity where people are just so full of themselves. I see this Christianity where people, they build lives and they build businesses, they build all these things, but they never build the kingdom of God. They never think about the kingdom of God. And then I see others that do. Praise the Lord. I know examples of wonderful men and women of God who have lots and lots and lots of resources. And they give it to the work of the Lord in the sense that they do right things by it. I'm not just saying that they give it in tithe offerings, but they do something with it. They do something with everything that they have for the Lord. They seek God. What do you want me to do with it? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I can't get $10 in my pocket and not ask the Lord what he wants me to do with it. When was the last time you asked him? When was the last time that you increased and you said, Lord, what is your plan for me increasing? I'm not just talking about finances. What do you increase in? Praise the Lord. Is your car so important to you that you couldn't lend it to somebody? Yeah. Is your house so important to you that you couldn't use it for the work of the Lord? What am I talking about? Well, you got to seek the Lord. I'm not just saying that we have open doors and let everybody into our house or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But you have to understand you have to look at everything that you have, everything that is you. You need to look at it and say, Lord, what is your purpose in me having this? What is your purpose for me having this? Do you want more? Do you have a talent that you're spoiling on the world? I see this. We see this in musicians all the time. You see musicians, once Christian musicians, they come out, they get into the world. They go out and say, I'm telling you right now, I would never encourage my kids to be a famous musician. Why? Because almost every single one of them go right down that path of hell. And their parents send them down it. Yeah, absolutely. What about famous sports players and stuff like that? Well, you know, they're going to be out of church 3/4 of the year. I don't want my kid playing professional football. I don't care if he's making $10 million a year. Yeah. Right. That's not the plan of God. See, then, and this is where people fail, is because they don't realize that all these things here on earth are temporal. There is an end to this, and not too long from now. Right. 70 years, give or take a few. 80 years, give or take a few. 90 years, give or take a few. I'm going to 100. Amen. I'm going to 100. But 100 years, give or take a few, isn't 94, you say, we're going at the same time, we've decided. I said, I've got to at least make it to 100. Praise the Lord. If you want to push it to 100, that's fine. I go to 106, I don't mind, but you know what I'm saying? But see, here's the thing, there's people that, it's not that long of a time, even if you live a real long time in the scope of eternity. Praise the Lord. What are we compelled by? What pushes us to do what we do? What wakes us up every day and is our, you know what? I'm going to tell you right now. One of the reasons I pastor is because I love to help people with the word. I love to show people the truth. Because when I see people set free, there's no greater joy in my life. I'm going to tell you what, when you experience that one time, when you experience one time somebody getting the help that they need and they connect and they truly are sold out to God and then they live for God, when you experience that one time, you'll be an addict. You'll never want to go back. Hallelujah. See, that's what's exciting, is the plan of God is to see it come to pass. That's where the fullness of joy is. That's where all the peace of God is. I mean, there isn't trial in those things. And there's trial that comes against you while you're in those things. But it bounces off you, rolls off you like water off a duck's back. I never watched water on a duck's back, but I know it rolls off. Praise the Lord. How do I know? Because when they sit out there in the wintertime, and they got water all over them, and they ain't cold. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? What compels us? What pushes us to do what we do? It needs to be the love of Christ. We need to allow that love to come inside of us and saturate us. I have a serious question. And somebody, you know, we do this every week. You know, we raise hands. You know, but it's not the raising of hands at the end of service to get you saved. It's the confession, and it's the belief. But see, when there's truly a belief, you can confess things. And we said this last night, you know, people can mentally assent to the idea that God, Christ, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ died for their sins. People can mentally assent to that and say, yes, I recognize that as truth. But that's not the same as receiving it into your heart. There's a big difference between receiving something into your heart, because when you receive Jesus into your heart, when you've truly done so, there's a change that happens. You're no longer being okay with who you were before. You're no longer okay doing the things you did before. Why? Because you know that it's against the things of God. You know that it hurts God. You know that it rubs against God. You understand that. See, if you're truly saved, you understand that there's something that's changed on the inside of you. It is not just saying what you said, but it's living what you've said. It's living, it's being okay with what God wants to do in you. Amen? Praise the Lord. When there's a change and you truly understand, that's what repentance means. Repentance doesn't mean to just, repentance isn't just to say, I'm sorry. I mean, we talked about this before. If you lived in an abusive relationship, you know that the abuser will say, I'm sorry, a lot. But they'll still keep going back to the same thing. And so you get to the point where you realize, wait a minute, they're not sorry at all. I've told my kids growing up, I've taught my kids growing up that I don't want you to give me lip service. I don't want you to come to me, Dad, I'm sorry all the time about not doing what I told you to do. I want you to just start doing it. Yeah. Listen, you ain't got to, like, you're completely forgiven. Just do what you got to do. Yeah. Yeah. Do what you're supposed to do. Just put down that other stuff and do what God says to do. You understand? And see, that's exactly the way it is. And we see that with God. It's about love. It's about the love of God being shed in your heart, shed abroad in your heart. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. In case you don't know, 1 Corinthians 13 is a great love chapter. We see it all over the place. I see it on signs, even in stores that aren't Christian stores. You see these things about love. They quote, because there's no better definition of love than what the Bible has. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13, we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. Hallelujah. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. What this is talking about here, of course, this is talking about tongues. This is talking about, different tongues like the Bible talks about in tongues. And yes, that's for today, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. It's of God. Praise the Lord. But you understand what it says here. It says, though I do that, but I have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It just means ding, 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 you know, just something that's loud and just annoying. That's what it is. It isn't sweet to God. Hallelujah. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I have not love, I am nothing. Look at the powerful things. Now, most Christians don't even know what this stuff is. They haven't the faintest idea. They don't understand that God can put you in a place where you can understand all mysteries and have all knowledge. A lot of Christians don't understand that with faith, with real God faith, that you can move mountains, any mountain that stands before you. I'm talking physical, actual mountains, metaphorical mountains. Whatever mountain comes against you, if the mountain stands before you, you can move it with faith. Yeah, absolutely. You can change the things. God's given us creative power in our tongues. You could do all that power, but if you have not love, you're nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, this is going to get real good here. And though I have all my though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. If I have not love, what are we talking about? We're talking about the God love. And it's going to get there. What it's going to tell us what love is. We're about to find out. But I want you to really focus on the scripture. There are a lot of churches that do this. There's a lot of churches that have soup kitchens. There's a lot of churches that have food pantries. They give all these goods to the poor. They do all these things. But they don't have any understanding what the love of God is. We're going to learn about that today. The love of God is the power of God. It's the ability of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it's our ability. It's our power. Hallelujah. It's what we have to conquer life and to get through things. Praise the Lord. But see, it doesn't, what it's saying is, he is not saying that this stuff is not good. He's not saying that it's not good to give to the poor. He's not saying that it's not good to be able to prophesy and stuff like that. He's not saying that at all. He's just saying if you do all that, but you don't have love, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the love of God shed abroad in your heart, if you're not compelled by the love of Christ, it does not matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you sit in church every single week. It doesn't matter if you go to church every single service, go to every church in town. It does not matter. It doesn't matter if you read the Bible cover to cover every single week. It does not matter. Because works don't matter if there's no love involved in it. Praise the Lord. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Praise the Lord. I mean, do we need explanation? Just look at this and chew on it. Chew on what the word says. Amen? Does not behave rudely. I love that one. I mean, we've read these scriptures here before, and I like to stop on this one. Does not behave rudely. Dear Jesus, that Christians would learn this. Yeah. The people of God, if they would just learn to not be rude. Yeah, to not be rude. That means you consider other people in everything that they do. You consider, or in everything that you do. When you do something, if you know what I mean, if you do things, if you let your household fall apart and you don't care, and then you bring it into the church, you're behaving rudely. You're not considering the things of God. You're not considering what matters. You're not considering other people. Oh, there's people that do this all the time. Everything they do is for themselves. That's rude. It's rude. When you focus on yourself, this is what I love about God. God's word teaches us, and last night we learned about this some, but God's word teaches us as we take the focus off of ourselves and put it on him, that all those things happen that we need, all the things that we want, all the things we desire. He said he gives us the desires of our heart, but it's only found in seeking him first. Yeah. Matthew 6:33 tells us that if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then, what? When you seek first God and the kingdom, his kingdom, hallelujah. You know, I get a little bit twisted up a little sometimes, but you understand what I'm saying. We have to seek God first and what his kingdom is about, what he's about. Because when we seek God first, then all those things are added to us. You don't need to focus on yourself. See, God doesn't say that it's wrong to want nice things. He said it's wrong to covet nice things. What's that? What's coveting nice things? It's when you sit there thinking about nice things all the time. I want this, I want that, I want this. And then the thought never crosses your mind on what you do. That's why people spend. People will spend. They'll go spend on themselves, spend on themselves, spend on themselves all the time. And they don't ever think about, a brother or sister that might need something. They don't think about their spouse. Glory to God. I have a hard time when money comes in my hand not considering giving it to my wife. I almost always do. Why? Because that's where my heart is. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, husbands, you would do yourselves a lot better to be loving on your wives by giving them everything that they want. Seeing to it. That should be a husband's number one goal. But you know what, wives? It should be your goal to be your husband's everything too. Yeah. It should be your number one goal to please your husband above yourself every time. And when you do that, your husband will be pleasing to you. And husbands, when you please your wives will be pleasing to you. See, God's design is perfect. When you please each other first, you understand. But see, the same thing works with God. When you take care of God's kingdom. See, God, what people don't understand is God can't move on the earth unless people move God on the earth. Why? Because he put this place in the authority of us. Dominion's in our hands. It's our decision, amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Praise God. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. You know how many fires you have to put out because somebody did something. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Sister Bucket Mouth said this, and brother better than you did something else. Praise the Lord. And everybody gets all tangled up and all messed up, mad about it. Doesn't seek its own. Yeah. Love thinks no evil. Oh, well, they did it. Praise the Lord. They did it. How much better would the church be? Hallelujah. This is why we don't have church committees here. Because church committees are the epitome of ruining churches. That's how churches split. Because brother better than you gets this thought in his head, and sister bucket mouth gets something in her head, and I want it this way. Well, I want it this way. See, nobody's seeking God to find out what he wants. See, that's the problem, is that everybody's like, well, I don't know why we got to do this and that, because that's the way God designed to do it that way, if you want it to work. But if you don't, then you go to pick any number of churches that go by committee. They decide everything by committee. Praise the Lord. God's plan doesn't get done that way. God's plan gets done when we do things the way he wants. Praise the Lord. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Man, husbands and wives, if we could perfect this, our life at home would be a lot better. A lot better. Amen? Thinks no evil, is not provoked. What would happen if you weren't provoked? You know what I mean? What would happen if you couldn't be stirred up enough to start getting mad? What would happen then? You need to learn this. Yeah, you need to learn this a lot better. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. They don't know I'm joking? Oh. I'm not. Woo! 11 years in one day, you can't do nothing about it now, baby. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. You're hooked for life. Hey. I'm joking. Just throw that out there. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Look what love does. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. What's iniquity? Sinful living. Sin. When it sees sin, it doesn't rejoice with it. It despises it. Oh, you know, I have a hard time watching movies sometimes, because I'll watch a movie and I'll see, you know, you see things in movies and somebody will die in a movie and they went to hell. I mean, I literally think that way, because I got God so on the inside of me, and you see that somebody was completely living not for God and want nothing to do with God, and that's exactly where my thought, even in something that's make-believe. I can't make-believe sin anymore, because it won't, because the love of Christ compels me. It won't let me do that. It won't let me look on things that are bad without being convicted about it. It won't let me do things that are bad without being convicted about it. Now, I can suppress that conviction if I wanted to, but I'm going to live in that mess. Amen? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Love never fails. The love of God never fails, and this is what the love of God looks like. He is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish. He's long-suffering. He's waiting for us to do what we have to do, because God doesn't want anyone to perish, though he knows that many will. And when I'm talking about perish, I mean spending eternity in hell. That's not God's plan. It was never God's plan. God's plan was that we live forever in his blessing, but you can't even explain that in churches like ours sometimes. You can't explain to people enough sometimes that God wants them blessed. He didn't do this so that they could live apart from his blessing, but people still, because they have their religious mindset or their religious thinking, they still go back to that same old thing. They still go back to that same old dead horse and keep kicking it, but it's not moving anymore, because they still think that God is doing bad things, or God's allowing bad things. When God, his whole purpose for being here, his whole purpose for having us here, was to have us live in communion with him and for us to experience everything that he had for us. This is what God has for us. He has so much love for us that he bears. He puts up with us. He is long-suffering. But he will not rejoice in iniquity. He will not rejoice. He will not bless his children while they're off living like heathens. He's not going to bless their children, his children, while they're off living like whores. I'm talking about men and women, by the way. Yeah, you can't just be experiencing this and that and then taking all this, everything that the devil has to offer, and think that God's going to bless that. He's not going to. But love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Look at this. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It would be so helpful if people would put away childish thinking. I see so many adults that think like teenagers do. And I think, dear Lord, what are you doing? Listen, if you're an adult and you're still partying, first of all, you're an idiot. Yeah. I'm sorry I said that. You can only say that when you preach. So just so you know, you can only say it when you're a pastor. But if you're an adult, you're still living that life. Like, dear Jesus, grow up. Grow up. You know, so when you put those things into your body, what it does is cause destruction in your body. But the second thing it does is it makes you act like a complete moron. Yeah, absolutely. That is not grown-up behavior. That is not something of somebody who has become mature. That's somebody who is living like a 16-year-old. Why do we not let our 16-year-olds do it? Because they don't have enough sense not to do it themselves. But you know what the funny thing is? There's adults that don't have more sense than most 16-year-olds do. They're out there living. They go. They got bars full of them. Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna call it out right now. If you go to a bar, you're just as stupid as the devil is. Because that's exactly what you're doing. You're inviting that stuff into you. You can't. You aren't going to go there and have any kind of refreshing, any kind of presence of the Lord. But then people will go partake of those things, and then they come back and they want, well, I want God. They'll come to church on Sunday, well, I want God. No, you don't. You don't want God. You want to live the way you want to live, and you want to have the benefits of what you think you can get from God. But listen, God doesn't work that way. God doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Sometimes it's time to grow up and stop being a baby. It's time to grow up and start being who God made you to be. Men, let's see, if this country, if men would start being men, we'd have a different country. If women would start being women, we'd have, I'm not talking about these feminazis out there that want to just destroy everything that's man. That's not what it's about anyway. Yeah, and you, listen, if you're a woman, be proud that you're a woman. God made you a woman, and he made you great. If you're a man, be proud you're a man. God made you a man, and he made you a great. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're a woman, God did not make you a man. If you're a man, God didn't make you a woman. But see, if we would just teach people this, there was a time when that kind of thinking was considered mental illness. Praise the Lord. Because see, when things are done wrong, they don't work right. Praise the Lord. God has intended things to work a certain way. God did not design. But see, imperfect people will believe that God would do that. This is why people get screwed up in their thinking, because they don't realize that we serve a perfect God. A perfect God. He didn't create things to fall apart. He created things to work and to be blessed. But they fall apart and aren't blessed because people don't work it right. I'm telling you the truth here. This is the word of God. You can be mad at me, but the fact of the matter is this is what God says. And then you got these religious nut leaders out there that'll say, well, this and that, and we can change. No, you can't change. The Lord says, I am the Lord, I don't change. He wouldn't give us a Bible that he said that we could change if he doesn't change. Amen. Praise the Lord. But see, children will think that way. Children will think about things wrong. I love kids. I love watching kids. I love their creative minds. But I'm going to tell you what, I am so glad I'm 41. I am so glad, and I'm looking forward to being 50, and then 60, and even more, 70. You say, how is that? Because I understand that I know way more now than I did when I was 20, and I thank God for it. Hallelujah. I'm excited I'm not living the way I did when I was 20, because when I was 20, I was a moron. Yeah, when I was 20, I lived like that. I was stupid. I did all kinds of dumb things. Why? Because I still thought as a child. That was your fault. Hallelujah. That's just a joke. You know that. I did. Well, you don't see. Praise. But you know, God loves us. I might not be loved leaving here today, but God still loves me. Hallelujah. Boy, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. God, what's that? I can't come out from under. Okay. Duck behind the pulpit. I should have made this a little bit bigger. Little seat in there. A little seat and a little. But I should have put some power in there too, because I'll probably end up living in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you know, God, loves us. He's for us. He's created us to work perfectly. The human body, it's an amazing body. It really is. When you look at what the body does and how resilient it is, I mean, some of the worst things the devil will throw at the human body, and it still makes it through. Even without the blessing of the Lord. I'm just talking about the way God designed it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how can we eat snarf so much in America? And I'm guilty of this. I have a hard time when it comes to it. Because sometimes, you know, I don't know what it is about McDonald's. I was saying this. We stopped there last night after service. Praise God. I stopped there at McDonald's, and I was like, you know, they have their special new artisan menu or whatever at McDonald's. I'm like, it's McDonald's. Nobody comes here for artisan sandwiches. I don't go to McDonald's because I want an artisan sandwich. I go there because I want a cheeseburger. I go there because I like their fries and their chicken nuggets. I don't care about all this fancy artisan garbage. I just want the cheeseburger, you know what I mean? And I still like the cheeseburgers. A few more of them now than I did when I was a kid, but I still like them. Do you understand? There's something about them. They don't really taste good. I just like the way they taste. You know what I'm saying? You don't go to McDonald's and get artisan sandwiches. Hallelujah. So, what's that? Hey, French fries are good too. Last night they were really good, weren't they? I mean, they hit those on. You know, that's McDonald's fries. When they're good, but when they're bad, oh, they're bad. Oh, man. But like I said before, if you lose one under your seat, your car, and you go find it 6 months later, it looks the same as it did. But they don't taste the same. That's right. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to tell you something. Anything that could hide under the seat of a car, go through a winter, and be in there in the mush and everything else, and come out looking the same, something that's supposed to spoil in a few days, but comes out looking the same. I mean, there won't even be mold on it. I'm going to tell you, you can't put that in your body all the time and have that be a good thing. Do you know what I'm saying? And so you can't live on that stuff. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of people in this country that live on that stuff, and their bodies still last for years and years and years. That's an amazing design if you think about it. I mean, can you imagine, you went and bought a new vehicle. Real nice vehicle. We go buy a real nice vehicle, and you start, you know, you put gas in it to get it to run, but you throw some sugar in the gas tank once a week. You know, or maybe something else. I don't know. Just do whatever you want. You start, like, you know, throwing stuff in it, and you start, you know, leave the windows down all the time and let it rain in there on all the electronics all the time and see how long your car lasts. I'm telling you, even the best-built cars won't last that long. Not under those conditions, but the human body does, because God's amazing. He's designed it perfectly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. It's talking about when Jesus has revealed himself. See, these things are for us now on the earth, that we would live in them. We could experience prophecy. We experience tongues. All these things are a plan of God to experience while we're on this earth. But when Jesus comes back, there will be no need for prophecy anymore, because then we're going to know as we're known. Hallelujah. In fact, the Bible says that right here. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. I also am known. Just as you are known, you shall know. Hallelujah. We'll understand God. We'll understand what he wants. But now we have these things. And that's not a bad thing. Hallelujah. But see, that's what love does. Love points us to that. Love gives us the truth. We don't understand everything right now, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God working on the inside of us. Verse 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. We should be living this with these three things at the forefront of our mind, knowing that love is the greatest, but having faith and having hope and being these things being our focus every single day, every minute, every hour, every time we wake up, every time we go to sleep, every time we come to church, every time we do anything. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Hope is that expectation. We don't need to talk about faith as believing God at his word. Hope is the expectation that it will always come to pass. And love is the power that binds it all together. Love is the power that makes it happen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look up here, John 15, 12 and through 13. Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. That's a big commandment. This is my command, that I love, that you love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love you? Well, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus sacrificed it all for us. And he said, This is my commandment, that you love each other the same way that I loved you. Sacrifice and be willing to give it all. But not childish people. Not children. They think, well, you know, I love babies. We got some sweet babies around here. I absolutely love them. But you know, one thing about babies is they just don't care about anybody else. Do they? We got a sister over here shaking her head. She's like, no, they don't. Hallelujah. In the middle of it. Love that baby. That's why God makes them cute. I'm telling you right now, that's why God makes them cute. He makes babies cute because there would be no babies if God didn't make them cute. Because you get fed up with that real quick if they look like me. If there was a baby, if you had a baby, it looked like me, and I was doing what babies do, you'd be throwing me to the curb real quickly. Do you know what I'm saying? That's the truth. That's the truth and no lie. Hallelujah. I mean, you got to talk about Mark. We know what happened with him, praise the Lord. He wouldn't even have to cry. He'd be throwing that out. And praise the Lord, yeah. Praise the Lord. Who else can I stomp on today in my family? Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. But he has to listen. Yeah, praise. He has to. He still lives in my house. And that's a rule. When you live in my house, you listen to me. Praise the Lord. Everybody but Renee. She can do whatever she wants to do. All the time. In fact, that's right, absolutely. Happy wife, happy life. That's the truth. Amen. Dr. Dufresne always said that. Praise the Lord, is it true? Amen. And I find out when it's real true sometimes too, because I'm like, oh, I didn't do that well. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah. I ain't going to go into those stories, but good stuff. Hallelujah. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And see, it matters what compels us. What are we doing? We consider other people when we do what we're doing. Oh, dear Jesus, this is something, you know, and kids, again, kids have to be taught this, but adults shouldn't have to be. Adults shouldn't have to be. The kids need to be taught this, and shame on you parents if you don't teach your kids this. You know, we joke and stuff like that, but we have endeavored to raise our kids in such a way that they understand the love of Christ and to have that pushing them to do everything they do. You know, I joke about Mark, but the truth is, I mean, you think about what this young man has gone through and what he's done, it's been pretty amazing. Because he's after the plan of God for his life, no matter what. There's plenty of he's watched people get married around him, friends having bad relationships and all this other stuff. He could have had all those relationships. He really is a good looking kid. I don't try to tell him that too much. I don't want to puff him up, but you know, it's a job, dad's job to, you know, beat you down a little bit. That's what we're here for. But you know, he's a good looking kid. He has never had a problem with girls wanting to date him or whatever, but he doesn't do that. Why? Because he's had the truth put in him. Yeah. That's why he doesn't play the field and just go around jumping from bed to bed to bed. Why? Because he knows better. He knows better. He doesn't think like a child thinks. Children think about that. That's why when parents let their children do whatever they want, like, who's the biggest fool? It's the parents. It's like, listen, you have been put there by God to give your kids direction and to show them how not to partake of all that foolishness that is bound in their hearts. And yet parents are like, well, I want to be a friend of my kid. Yeah. You're stupid. It's stupid. All you're doing is you're sending your kids right down the path of hell. Yeah, hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. God is good. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And that should be our direction. Now turn with me to Matthew 4:18. Praise the Lord. God is good, God is good. See, but here's the thing, you know, some of you out there looking sad today. But you ain't got to be sad. This should be stirring you up. But wait a minute here. Listen, this is what I love about the Word of God and the teaching of God, and this is what I love about the way our churches have been taught, the way I've been raised. Is, yeah, you can have a message that steps on your toes, that pounces on all your ideals, that uproots things in your life. But praise the Lord, this is what we know. We walk away from here blessed. We walk away from here with the truth, and the truth living in us, which sets us free, that we don't have to be bound like everyone else does, that we don't have to look at everything like the world does, that we can be set free. I think about how the other night we were talking to my son, my wife and I were talking to my son, and we were talking about my relationships before, my previous life that I lived before. And I was thinking about, dear Jesus, how stupid I was. The mistakes that I would make. The people that I was with, that I would spend time with. Hallelujah. These people were the worst of the worst sometimes. Yeah. I'm just telling you, because some people are bad. Some people just aren't good. They don't want good things for life. Some people are just out for themselves. And we were thinking about how blessed he is, because he doesn't have to experience that. He doesn't have to go through all that. He doesn't have to go through people using him and abusing him, throwing him to the curb, taking his emotions. No, he's going to find a wife that wants everything that he wants, everything that God wants for him, that wants to serve God with all her heart. You know, we tell our people, we teach our kids this, that when you seek God and you have a wife out there or a future spouse out there that's seeking God, as you seek God together, he brings you right together to that point, and then it's perfect. Praise the Lord. It's perfect. It's heaven on earth. We've had 11 years in one day, and I'm going to tell you what, I wouldn't go back on any of it. We've had the best 11 years, and people think, well, God just blessed you more. God didn't bless us more. My wife and I were talking about this the other day as we were driving. It was on our anniversary, actually. We were talking as we were driving. We were like, you know something? People think that it's just because we're special or something. God gave us some special relationship. No, all that God did was put two people together who both agree on the same thing, that number one, God is best, God is good, and as we seek him and as we do his word, that it will always work out for us. And it does. When we love each other the way he said to, and because that's most important to us, there is no argument that we can't get over like that. Why? Because the love of God comes in on us. The love of God changes us. It makes us say, you know what? I don't need to hold anything against you because it don't matter anymore. If you hold something against your spouse, you're lining up with the devil. Yep. Now listen, if your spouse continually does bad things, then you got to consider these things. I'm not saying it's good to live in a bad relationship. But you understand that two people, that especially if two people are going to church in a church like this, there's no reason that they should ever have hold anything against. If you hold something against your spouse for any length of time, it's dangerous. Amen. We've been stupid and let it go on, you know, overnight before, and we shouldn't even do that. It's dangerous. Just get rid of it. Why? Because it's not worth it. Amen. Matthew 4:18, hallelujah. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Look at that direction. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'm changing your profession. When you follow me, your profession is going to change. What you do, everything that you're about. You understand, and this was a time period in history when somebody's job was their life. You know, today everything's so fickle that, you know, we don't understand, even in America, we don't understand people's like, oh, I had to work 40 hours this week. I had to work 50 hours a week this week. Praise the Lord. There's people that work in this world that work nonstop. You know what I mean? There's people that are trying to make ends meet that never stop working. You know, 40 hours or 50 hours, we get kind of spoiled by that. It's the truth. We have been. I know there's a lot of big amens on that one, but it's the truth. Amen. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I'm going to change the course of what you're doing. It was their entire life. It's how they were raised. Their fathers were probably fishermen, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Then immediately they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. They didn't wait. They said, oh, wait a minute. I gotta go take care of some things. I got some other business I got to take care of. You know, I know, Lord, you want me to do this, but let me get my other things in life in order first. He didn't say it. He said immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. And the boat was Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. That's very important. And I threw the scripture in there because it was really important to understand this. They didn't just leave their boat. They left everything. They left their father. They left their family for the work of the Lord. They left everything. You know, I know that there's people out there. I know there's people in my family out there like, why? You know, you start going to church and you stop. Because we're doing the work of the Lord. It's not even about these people. It's about the work of the Lord. I don't do this even about these people. I do it because this is what I'm called to do. I follow God because it's what he's called me to do. It isn't about, you know, praise the Lord. He has me here. But if someday he uproots me and sends me somewhere else, if all of a sudden God says to me, you got to get up and you got to go to India, and I want you to spend the next 10 years there, well, see you guys. It's been nice knowing you. I love you. But I'm doing the plan of God. I will always, and your job should, or your goal should always be to be in the plan of God, no matter who it leads you to or who it leads you from. It doesn't matter. We can't hold on to things so great, so tightly that we'll say, mine. Those are people that never go anywhere with God. Those are people that never experience God's power. Those are people that never walk in the full blessing of God. See, it matters that we follow God above all, if it means leaving your family. And Jesus said that you will give up. He said, there's nothing you'll give up in this life that I won't give you 1,000 times over, this life and the next, or 100 times over, whatever it says, in this life and the next. Can you find that scripture for me? Yeah, 100 times over in this life and the next. He said, God says you have to give it up sometimes, because you know what? Sometimes people don't want to go with you. And I'm going to tell you what. If you ain't going with me, then we're not going together. Yeah. If you're not going the direction that God's having me going, we aren't going together. Yeah. I don't care if it's my children. I don't care if it's my mother. I love my mother. I'm a mama's boy. Anybody who knows me knows I'm a mama's boy. But if mama didn't serve God, we're not going together. If my boys, if my daughter didn't serve God, we're not going together. If my wife stopped serving God, we're not going together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So Jesus, and this is Mark 10:29-30. It says, Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses, brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. Praise the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. You can't give up anything that God doesn't replace. Praise God. Hallelujah. Immediately they followed. So the question is, are you distracted? Are you distracted by the trial? Are you distracted by things? You know, if you didn't realize yet, the trial, if you have a trial in your life, the purpose of the trial comes for one purpose, and that's to distract you from God's goodness, what God said. Why? Because when you have a trial, say you have a sickness comes in your body, you say, well, that doesn't line up with the word, and so you start thinking about how much you're getting attacked, how much the trial, and you stop focusing on the goodness of God and that he was your healer, and then you don't walk in that healing. You see, that's the devil knows that. That's why he brings trial. You know, people, I've heard this out of time so many times. If people come up to me and they're like, I'm not talking about church, I'm talking about anywhere. People talk, you know, the devil this, the devil that, the devil this, the devil that. It doesn't matter what the devil does. Yeah, I'm not saying, so you can recognize that you're in trial. Okay, I'm in a trial. Big what? My God's good. My God's greater. When you have trial, when you're in the finances, my God's a supply, all my needs, according to his riches and glory. Praise the Lord. No, but what people do is they the devil, and what they're doing is they glorify the devil. That's what you're doing. Like, I'm not trying to get down on you. I'm just telling you, that's what happens when we're all guilty of this. We have to watch our mouths. We have to watch what we do. The devil. He's always this. He's always that. No, God is always good. The devil is going to, he's going to spend this much time afflicting humanity, and then he's going to be thrown into hell. Okay? So the devil, nothing. The devil don't matter. What he does doesn't matter. The trial doesn't matter. If you let it distract you, though, then it does. Yeah. Wow. Praise the Lord. I want to read. We're fixing to close here. Praise God. Hebrews 10:24-26. I'm going to read it in the Amplified, so just look at it up here. And let us consider and give attention, give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. Listen to that. This is what the love of Christ does. It compels us to let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. You watching your brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, a lot of people always thought this was a pastor's job. Oh, the pastor, he didn't. But it's not the pastor's job to check up on everybody. Praise the Lord. It's your job. Yeah, my job is to preach the word. My job is to teach you. I don't care what some church taught you before. If you want to go back to that teaching, then go back to it. But that is not what my job is. My job is not to be a fire truck going around cleaning up everybody's lives. Or a garbage truck going to clean up everybody's lives. I'm not here so I can take all your garbage. I'm not here so you can dump on me. That's not my job. That is not a pastor's job. The pastor's job, specifically according to the word, is to teach people how to live so that they can go out there and live a victorious life. It's to feed them with the word of God. Jesus said, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. He didn't say, Peter, if you love me, be a garbage truck, a dump truck, so everybody can come pile all their garbage on you. But somehow along the line, pastors became that. And then people get mad when the pastor isn't calling them every week, or pastor isn't doing this, the pastor isn't doing this. Listen, when we have, like, if I'm calling you every week, I'm going to tell you right now. If I'm calling you every week, if I'm after you every week, if I'm talking to you all, like trying to encourage you all the time, that you need to think about that. Yeah. You're not living according to the word. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm going to send things out to people. You know, I'll send messages to people every once in a while or whatever, or I'll talk to people, hey, let's get together. But if I'm constantly on your tail, if I'm constantly trying to help you, then it means you can't stand on your own yet. Yeah, that's the truth. It's not my job to put out everybody's fires. Praise the Lord. You know how many things happened, came against us this year that I did not call my pastor about and tell him about? You know, there's things that my pastor doesn't even know that's happened in our household this year. Unless maybe I gave a testimony or something like that. But you know what I'm saying is that it's not our job. Now, I'm not saying you can't go to a pastor and ask advice on something. So, of course, that's all part of it. But I'm saying that, you know, when all hell's breaking loose in your life, you need to learn how to stand on your own. People need to learn how to stand on your own. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, it's good. Continuous care, watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. That means as the day approaches, we need to even do this more. We need to be more faithful at doing it. For if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning, look at this verse. Y'all need to hear this. For if we go on deliberately and willingly sinning after once acquiring the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice left to atone for our sins. No further offering to which to look forward to. That means that if you continue in that path, if you don't grow, it eventually becomes a point. If you continually sin, if you continually choose those things, it means Jesus' blood will not cover you. All those people that want to claim once saved, always saved, it's a bunch of garbage. And here's yet another scripture that I pull up that it's not true. That's another religious twist on doctrine that sends people to hell, because there's people out there living thinking, well, I can do whatever I want to do. And just there's whole churches that are based on people that don't serve God at all. They go out there and live like the devil. They're going to be very surprised when they stand before Jesus and they say, hey, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, depart from me. I didn't know you. Yeah, it matters how we live. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It matters how we live. Consecration is not just for ministers. Consecration is not just for people that work at churches. Consecration is for every born-again believer in Christ. We need to consecrate ourselves daily in the love of God, for the love of God. Praise the Lord. Okay, I want to show you a few things really quick, and we're fixing to close here. So I'm just these, but I want you to take note. If you're taking notes, take them down. Don't turn to them. Don't take the time here. But the next few scriptures I'm going to give you. Mark 16:15-18. And he said to them, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Jesus told us to do this. And yet so many churches, they think that this is just weird stuff. But this is what Jesus said to do. He said, this is what will happen if you believe. But he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and then take these signs with you, right? Now, I want you to look at this. And these scriptures I'm using, we've seen before, so these aren't surprises to you. So they'll be familiar to you if you've ever paid attention, amen? So then Acts 1:8 says something very similar. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So Jesus says the same thing here after his resurrection as that he did before the resurrection. That you're going to, when you receive the power, which is the Holy Spirit, you're going to go into the world with these signs and wonders. Yes. Praise the Lord. But now I want you to look at this, Romans 2:4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Why do I throw this in here? The goodness of God is found in the signs and the wonders of the church. The goodness of God was shown in Jesus Christ. And what did he do? Signs and wonders. Then he said, you are going to do signs and wonders. But brothers and sisters, these things only happen through love. These things only, if you don't contend for the things of God, if you won't pray for the church, if you won't contend, if you don't spend 5 minutes a day just praying for the church and the work of the ministry, saying, Lord, I pray that we reach everybody that we can reach. If you don't look for people that you can go out into the community and actually bring into the knowledge of Christ to get saved and to bring them to this, this is all the love of God. But see, people won't ever experience these things. Why doesn't the church see this? Because there's a good portion of the church that could care less about the church, that care about themselves. And that's not the love of Christ. If you're focused all the time on you and your stuff, you're never going to see the power of God. Jesus said it would manifest in those who want to manifest it. But if you don't want to manifest it, you ain't going to see it. So you can be there a bystander and you say, well, it won't matter. And you can still be your same selfish self and not care about anybody else but yourself. But you're going to have to answer. You're going to have to answer to Jesus, because there will be people that will go to hell because you didn't serve God. Do you know how many people, I've repented so many times for people I was a bad witness to when I was a Christian and I was living stupid? Yeah, because I did that. For a while, I lived as a Christian and lived stupid, and there's people that reject Christ today because of the way that I lived. Yeah, because they say, he's just doing the same thing he always did. Why would I follow that garbage? You just fell right back into the same stuff. There will be people that will reject Christ because of the way you live or don't live. That matters. That's big time. Hallelujah. That means there will be people that will be tortured for eternity in hell, because it was more important for you to have that thing that you wanted, or to drink that beer, whatever dumb thing that is you got to do. Ah, praise the Lord. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. The goodness of God is the power of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with this, Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Are you compelled by love? Are you compelled? Will you do the things you do? Do you do them out of love of Christ that lives on the inside of you? Or do you do them to serve yourself? Do you do it to serve others, or do you do it to serve? And when I say serve others, I mean even your own families. Sometimes we get so focused on our own families that we forget about the work of the Lord. I'm telling you right now, you're going to answer for that. And it's not just that you ought to answer to it. Think about it. Try to strum up inside of you. If you can't get stirred up with the idea that there are people that will go to hell because you don't serve God, think about that. It matters. There's people who will never know Jesus. They will never experience the things, the love that God has, because it's more important for you to look nice or to have something that you just, praise the Lord, it fires me up. Let's serve God. Let's get excited about the things of God. Let's stir ourselves up. Let's say, if the church has got to be built, then we'll build the church. And I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the people. Let's love on people. Let's show them the love of Christ. Let's go out there and be witnesses. And let's take the power of God to people who are lost and dying. And let's bring them into the church so they can go out and take the power of God to people who are lost and dying. Because there's something serious at stake. There's something very serious at stake. Hallelujah.